One day, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess before the judgment seat of God. On that day, it won't be about how clearly you saw other people's sins, but how honestly you walked before the Lord yourself. In this devotional, I'm going to unpack and confront the hard truth. Some things are gray, but God's absolutes are not, and they determine our eternity. Stay with me as we move from judgment of others to self-reflection, and from self-reflection to a fierce biblical love for our neighbor. Let's dive in. Welcome to the Washington Defender Daily Devotional. I'm your host, Pastor Brian Noble, CEO of Family Policy Institute of Washington. That's FPIW.org or FPIWaction.org. Hey, we are in our series called Absolutes and Principles of Conscience. I hope you've been enjoying this series. It has stretched me quite a bit on thinking about what are the gray areas. Now, God actually has more absolutes than he has gray areas. So we can't take from one category our absolutes and try to put that into a principle of conscience. We got to look at God's word in context and take him at his word as literally as we can. So I want to encourage you that if you're enjoying this series to subscribe, like, share, and comment. And if you're in that Washington Defender app, place this inside of your huddle. Also, if you are a financial partner of FPIW or FPIW Action, first off, thank you so much for your monthly support and your generosity. It really does help us spread the gospel message all across our state in every sphere that you can think of, whether that be government, whether that be the public square, whether that be employee-employer relationships, marriage, churches, whatever it might be. We want to make sure that we're telling people about Jesus. And so thank you for financially supporting us and causing that to happen, because we're changing the heart so that we can change the public square. Okay, so we are in Romans chapter 14, and we are on verses 10 through 12. And this is a powerful set of verses. I hope that you will take it seriously as we go. Let's actually start in verse 7. For not one of us lives for himself, and not one of us dies for himself. For if we live, we live for the Lord. Or if we die, we die for the Lord. Therefore, whether we live or die, we are the Lord's. For to this end, Christ died and lived again, that he might be Lord both of the dead and of the living. Our verse for the day. But you, why do you judge your brother? Or you, again, why do you regard your brother with contempt? For we will all stand before the judgment seat of God. For it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall give praise to God. So then, each of us will give an account of himself to God. You know, if we take the judgment seat of God seriously, and we take loving our neighbor seriously, and we actually believe this scripture, then on the things that the scripture says are absolute, these things over here, don't you think we should warn people? Give them a heads up of the absolutes of God's word. And the things that are gray, shouldn't we encourage people to glorify God in those gray areas? I think that if you truly love your brother, it's not judgment to give them a warning. It is judgment to say they're going to hell over something that's a gray zone. But an absolute, absolutely not. We need to be people who truly love people and say God is very clear on his word on this item. And so therefore, we have to be very clear on this item. And so I think it's important. I've had several conversations with people who, they're practicing homosexuality or they're practicing adultery. And this is not me making this up. This is true. I said, so if Jesus comes and you're standing before God on Judgment Day in your adultery, how do you think God's going to look at that? And they said, well, you believe the Bible says. I'm like, no, it's not that I believe or don't believe that. The Bible does say that if you are living a lifestyle of adultery, that you will not inherit the kingdom of God. The unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God. The Bible says that if you are living a lifestyle of homosexuality, that you will not inherit the kingdom of God. The Bible also says if you live a lifestyle of outburst of anger or gluttony or jealousy or any willful disobedience, the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God. So whether it's a sexual sin or an emotional sin or a self-control sin, the Bible is clear on these topics. It's very, very clear. These are absolutes. These are not just preferences that we can have. Well, I prefer same-sex relationships, or I prefer sex outside of marriage, or I prefer outbursts of anger, or whatever. God wants to see that his word is working on our hearts to refine us and to sanctify us for his glory. So are you living more aware of others' failures than your own coming account before God? I think this is important. I think the Bible is very clear to look at the log in our own eye prior to looking at the speck in our brother's eye. Self-reflection and the ability to take yourself before the Lord and to think through what God has spoke to you is important. So let's look at a couple absolutes. First, or one absolute anyway. Proverbs chapter 11, let's turn there. And look at something that God is very, very clear on. Proverbs chapter 11. And it's going to be the third verse. The integrity of the upright will guide them, but the crookedness of the treacherous will destroy them. So when you stand before God, are you going to stand in integrity or crookedness? Because if you're a crook, God's not going to look favorably on that. He's calling you to be honest, upright, have integrity, and to look at yourself first. Now, the Bible says in Galatians 6:1, if any of you are caught in a trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of gentleness, looking to yourself first so that you too may not be tempted. So when we look at that, that doesn't mean that we don't warn our brother or sister or that person in the public square, but it's after self-reflection first. It's after we look here in our own hearts so that we go to them out of love for them and concern for them, not out of judgment or haste or dislike or, you know, punitive motives. We will all stand before the judgment seat of God. Now, you may say, is it the same judgment? Well, for the believer, it's the Bema Seat judgment. It's the inheritance judgment where he burns up all of our hay, our stubble, our weeds in our life, all the stuff that's not lasting. He, through the blood of Jesus Christ, cleanses us from all unrighteousness. It's that final cleansing of the bride of Christ. For the unbeliever, in Revelation, we see it is the great white throne judgment, and that is a judgment of salvation. So Corinthians, I think 15, talks about the Bema Seat, and Revelation chapter 20 or 21 talks about the great white throne judgment. So everyone's going to give an account, and the question is, are we operating out of a lifestyle that is contrary to God's word? Or are we operating in integrity and God's word guiding us and directing us in that integrity to walk after him? Integrity grows when believers remember that divine evaluation is certain. There will be a day of evaluation. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And maybe this was the scripture I was thinking of. But 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and we're going to look at the 10th verse. Because having the word of God, this is the Bema Seat. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ so that each one will be recompensed or paid back for his deeds in the body, according to what he has done, whether good or bad. Therefore, knowing the fear of the Lord, we persuade men. So we are to persuade men, but we are made manifest to God. And I hope that we are made manifest also in your conscience. We are not again commending ourselves to you, but are giving you an occasion to be proud of us so that you will have an answer for those who take pride in the appearance and not in heart. And so God really wants our heart. To have a heart that walks after God, that knows God, that we will understand that he is a God that goes before us in all things. He surrounds us. So take heart and allow God to move on you today. My hope is that you will move from judgmentalness to self-reflection, and from self-reflection to a love for neighbor. That's my hope. That's what I'm hoping for myself today, in fact. Because we all need Jesus. We all need more of our Savior operating in our hearts and in our minds. And we want to do this in integrity, because one day we will bow our knees before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we pray for those who do not know you. God, and I don't know why in these last couple of days I've been thinking about our pastors. For the pastors that do not know you, God, I pray for salvation to come, a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ by faith through grace and not of works. God, anyone who has a religious spirit that just says, I follow all these rules, and so God is pleased with me. God, let them to know what it means to have faith in you and have a relationship with you, that you teach them from your word. God, we thank you for your goodness, your mercy, and grace. We pray for our elected officials. God, we pray that they would come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ as well, whether it be Bob Ferguson, Donald Trump, whoever it might be. God, we thank you that we bring them before you, and we pray and thank you that you can cause them to know you as well. So let their hearts be softened. Take away all pride. God, any proud spirit that would say that they are better than God or better than you, or it's all dependent upon them, let them humbly come as a servant to you. God, and I pray that over our pastors as well. We pray for stress to be gone in our pastors, that they would be fully reliant upon you. In Jesus' name, amen. Go out there and defend and advance biblical values in the public square. God bless.
You love our beautiful state, but does fighting for issues that most affect families ever feel like you're climbing alone? It can feel like an uphill climb in a hostile environment that Champions causes detrimental to Washington families. Again and again, the summit feels out of reach, but you don't have to climb alone. With like-minded people fighting for Washington families by your side, the journey becomes not just possible, but powerful. The Defender app, brought to you by the Family Policy Institute of Washington, connects you with your team for the climb ahead. Connect with conservatives who care about issues affecting families in your specific county and across our state in order to make our voices be heard locally and in Olympia. Simply click Learn to stay informed about the latest news affecting families. With one click, press Huddle to team up with other conservative minds in your specific county who care about how these issues affect you and your unique community. Then simply press Activate to get involved and to make your voice heard on legislation that matters in Olympia. With the Washington Defender app, you won't face the fight alone. Together, we can make a difference for families in Washington. Download the Washington Defender app today, a simple way to let your voice be heard.